change. I'm not focusing on the flat. I'm not focusing on the smashed thumb. I'm not focusing on the bills or the lights or the issues. I'm focusing on Jesus. Oh, yes. And it's wonderful. So our perception must change from time to time. We have to change our perception. God had a king in Israel, and his name was Saul, but Saul was not a broken vessel. So God wanted a king that was broken. So he gave Israel a new king in David. And our perception must change from time to time. How we do things must change. And how can we do that? With the power of the Holy Ghost, with the infilling of God's gift and comforter, the Holy Ghost, the power of perception. God's word tells us in Numbers 22 about Balak, the king of the Moabites, who saw the children of Israel approaching in this great number, and they were approaching Moab, and he heard how they had just conquered the Amorites, and he was worried. And Balak looked at the children of Israel and said, "They cover the face of the earth. They are too mighty for me." So he called Balaam to come and to curse them and to put a hex on them, and because he said, "I have heard that whoever, Balaam, you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." But God told Balaam not to go. But finally, the messenger of Balak, he persuades Balaam to go to Moab. So when Balaam gets on his all-purpose vehicle, his donkey, oh yeah, he gets on his donkey and he runs into all kinds of problems because that donkey resists. And the angel of the Lord is standing in the way with his sword drawn, and the donkey runs away from it into a field. And the Bible says that Balaam gets off and he beats his donkey. He beats him. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow place, and the donkey tried to get away from it. And in the process, he crushed the whole Mr. Balaam's foot against the wall. Balaam gets off and he beats him again. Balaam beats the donkey again and again. And he says, "What's wrong with you, donkey?" You know, sometimes you ever get so mad at a problem or a situation, you just start talking to it. I talk to drivers sometimes. "Lord, what's wrong with them? Go. It's not red. Go." Hallelujah. But you get so frustrated with the situation you're in, you just begin to talk to it. So he's talking to his donkey. "What's wrong with you, donkey? You've never acted like this before. We're going to meet Balak. Whether you like it or not, Buster, what's your problem?" He reminded the donkey that he had always started up when he had put the key in him. His cylinders were always working, and he always had four on the floor. And he was always faithful. He was always go whichever way he turned him. "What's your problem?" But then the angel appeared the third time before the donkey, and it was in a very tight place, the Bible says, between some stuff that he couldn't get out of. Couldn't go left. He couldn't go right. So the donkey just lays down. Yeah. Balaam is so angry, he begins to beat the donkey with a staff again. Now, here's where me and Balaam are different. The donkey looks up at Balaam and he opens his mouth and says, "What have I done to you? You've beaten me three times." Right there on the spot, I would say, something's going on here that is bigger and badder than me. Balaam said, "If I had a sword, I'd kill you right now, donkey." Just talks back to him like it's just a normal everyday occurrence for a donkey to talk to you. Then God opens Balaam's eyes and he sees the angel, and he falls to his face, and the angel tells him, "That, why are you beating this poor old donkey? Don't you realize this animal has saved your life? If it hadn't stopped, I would have killed you." Sir, ma'am, there are going to be situations in your life that it's just a dead stop and you can't get past it. It doesn't always have to be the devil standing there blocking your path. Maybe it's the Lord having his hand of mercy upon you to say, "Stop and be still. Be patient. Just begin to pray a little bit and fast a little. Just trust me a little bit. I'm going to get you through this, but this is not the way." Oh, but we have it all figured out. We're smart. We're intelligent. God says, Balaam, you can't curse what I've blessed. Get a real perspective of what God has for and in his people. Hallelujah. Poor little struggling people. So he tells him, you go on to Balak, but you tell him what I tell you to say. So Balaam, he goes there, and king takes him up to the mountain, to the worshipers of Baal, where they were sacrificing. He takes him, the mountain was Isca. He said, curse those people, curse them, but he couldn't curse them at Mount Isca. He takes them to Mount Peor, and he says, curse them, and he couldn't curse them. And he ended up telling them what God has blessed. No man can curse. God has blessed us. And I'm here to tell you, we are living with the blessings of God. If we're in a pit, we're in the blessings of God. If we're in the valley, we have the blessings of God. If the Moabites are surrounding us and our enemies are coming in like a flood, we have the blessings of God. People of God, hear me this morning, you can be victorious. You can be more than a conqueror. Get yourself full of the Holy Ghost. Read your Bible. Fast. Pray. Have fellowship. Be one. Be united. Nobody can put a hex or a curse on God's people. There is not anybody or anything. Saints, we are blessed above measure. We are blessed. Jacob learned that prayer. That prayer, I'm winding it up, prayer could give him a proper perspective. Prayer always gives God's people a new perspective of things that's going on. God knows right where we are. He knows that at times we're down in the pits. He knows that at times we're surrounded by our enemies. He knows that we have enemies and things that will tempt us and hurt us and challenge us. And so there needs to be a place where the people of God could retreat. And prayer is that retreat. Prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. It works. It's that mountain peak, that spiritual place. You can't perceive the church in the natural. You've got to get in the spirit. You've got to get in the supernatural to really understand how blessed that we are, how blessed that the church is. You look at the church in the natural man, and it's a whole lot like Balak would have looked at it. Well, they're just a bunch of people in a building. No, we're a bunch of people full of the Holy Ghost on fire for God, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're putting our trust, our hope, our faith in one who will never fail. You know, I have a hard time sometimes preaching without illustration. I like illustrations. And I know Sister Babs ladders. So I'm going to move this over because that's like close to the edge. And I'm a scaredy cat. In fact, Pastor, would you help me this morning because I'm scared. Don't even look that way. Don't even look that way. So Jacob learned that through prayer, that prayer would give him a different perception of the situation. Here he was, pursued by his brother. He had lied to his father. He had stolen the birthright. He had stolen his father's blessings. There's a house of fire, of hatred in his home. And nobody is in more trouble than Jacob. And Jacob went to prayer. And aren't you glad for the power of prayer? You see, prayer is actually prophecy. What you pray about today, you will live tomorrow. Hear me. Prayer is the filter that you put your life through today because of your tomorrow and what's going to happen in your tomorrow. If you're going to live like a pure life tomorrow, you have to filter it with prayer today. That's why I said at the very beginning, what you saw and what Luke and Natalie experienced didn't start just right here at opening prayer. It started days ago. God began to work and move and to touch and to stir that spirit of his presence inside of them. And they were hungry and open and said, God, here we are. They've begun studying it. Brother Baggett gave them a Bible study. And God's presence has come in. And the fulfillment of time, the process of time. Look at the blessings. And I'm so excited about what God is. But prayer is the perception changer. It will change you. And so Jacob, he has a lot to pray about, and he started praying in his dream, and he dreamed that he climbed a ladder. So come help me, Brother Baggett. I want you just to you know, we're down here. You got to come down here right now.
Cooley's good at climbing ladders.
No, no. Hey. No, no breaking legs. No, y'all have a seat now. Now, you just go right there for me. Just stop right there. Now, you're still in the process of prayer. Sister Baggett's in travail over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to know something crazy? This is crazy. I won't. You just hang on. We got in a bucket. Put these lights up. They had it up here on the edge. Brother Chris, we need a plug put in there. We don't install plugs. Guess who's big behind was in the bucket up on top up there? Put in a plug, me. They go around it without any outriggers. I put every outrigger out. I was propping stuff up because I wanted to live. And I promise you, the perspective from up there looking out here compared to right here is different. It's high. The girls were here practicing their sign language, and they were praying, oh, Lord, help them not to fall. I said, oh, Lord, pray louder. I was scared. So that's why I got buddy to help me this morning, because I don't like heights. But Jacob, he had a lot to pray about. So he starts out praying, and in his dream, now you're dreaming, you're praying. Yeah, there you go. You're dreaming, you're praying. So he climbs the ladder. So climb the ladder a little bit higher for me. And you know, as he climbs this ladder, and in the spirit of prayer, remember, you're still praying. Your travail, eyes closed, you got to pray. Yeah, there you go. You're still praying. So Jacob, he could look down now at the situation, and he can see, there I am down there. So you look, yeah, here you are down here. There I am, and there's old Esau over there. He's you might need to go a little higher to see Brother Esau over there. Come on up, a couple more. I don't want y'all to forget this, okay? So and that, now you can see Brother Esau over there. Hey, brother, you're coming to kill me, and I don't like that. And, you know, he's vowed he's going to murder me, and there I am down over there, and all of this is trouble, and there's my mother. Look at your mama. There's your mother. You're texting. Jacob didn't text. What in the world? We're going to have to get a sign. No phones or text. Oh, you're taking a picture. Perspective. Oh, yeah, that'll preach right there. Perspective. What's your perspective, sir, ma'am? What's your perspective? Look over here at your mama. Don't fall, but look at your mama. There's mama. Yeah. There's old mama over there. She, you know, now he's Jacob. You're Jacob's mama. You're not Sister Baggett, the States lady that we love and care about, but you're his mama, Jacob's mama. And, you know, she led you into some of this trouble. She connived with you to get this birthright and this stuff stolen and get the brother all mad at you. There's just a lot of confusion going on. But through prayer, Jacob was able to look at his situation and to see the big picture, our perception, our perspective. If we'll get in prayer and get in God, my point is you get above your junk, so your junk can't get to you. And it might shake you, and it might rattle you. I'm sorry. But you're okay. Because you're above it, and you can see it for what it is really is. It's just a little speed bump in time. It's just a little something, something you got to go through for right here and right now. Go up a little bit higher. But see, go up a little bit higher. I can still reach right here. Mike. Come on, buddy. Have faith. I won't hurt you. I'll catch you if you fall.
That's a little.
Oh, there you go. That's a little. So now all of his problem, all of his junk, all of his trouble, all of his worries, all of his fears, all of his doubts, he's looking over them. He's saying, aha, there's a ladder going to heaven. So he gets his viewpoint off of his junk, and he begins to look up. I'm challenging you today. Begin to look up. Begin to look up. Hallelujah. God is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to let you down. He'll pick you up, and he'll put you on top of everything. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Your children are going to make it. Your marriage is going to make it. Your home is going to make it. You can make it living for God. But you've got to change the power of your perception. How's it look from up there, buddy? It's hot. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Praise God. Praise God that we can pray today and we can thank God for protecting Brother Baggett. Come on now. Don't fall on the descent. That would be bad. We almost made it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is our greatest privilege. I'm closing. Prayer is our greatest privilege. It is our greatest potential. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The Bible talks about in Matthew 4 that Satan, he takes Jesus up to a high mountain. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He's trying to tempt him. He's trying to get his perspective to be different, but Jesus didn't fall for it. The greatest prayer. Hallelujah. Jesus even climbed the prayer ladder. Yeah, he did. He prayed at Gethsemane. Jesus didn't face Gethsemane with the power of God. He faced it with the power of prayer. Jesus Christ prayed at Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. He changed his whole perception, his whole view right there. The greatest prayer he prayed was the day that they laid him on the cross and stood that old cross up in the ground. And Jesus finds himself. The cross didn't destroy Jesus. The cross just gave him a new perspective, a new viewpoint. It became his ladder. And on that ladder of prayer, hear me today, on that ladder of prayer, he could look down there and say, Father, forgive them. There I am hanging on the cross. No man's ever hated me anymore or anybody more than I. Look at them, they're spitting on me now. There's those people that I healed of leprosy crying, crucify him. What are you going to do, sir? Look at him. He's slapping my face. He's cursing me. I fed them. They were part of the 5,000. I healed them. Here they are jeering at me. But there I am. There I am. That great potential opened, as prayer always does. And prayer always opens up a new perspective. Paul said, for the joy that was set before him, something just opened up to Jesus on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe heaven must have opened up, and Jesus was probably seeing his return to earth and the clouds and the people coming out of their graves. Oh, the joy that was set before him. It was a happening in the spirit. Yes, his mortal fleshly body was being crucified, but his perspective was bigger. His perspective was bigger. And because of that, we have the opportunity to get out of the sin curse and the curse that was put over us of death, hell, and the grave. We can make it. You can live for God, but you've got to change your perspective and your perception of the things around you. If you would stand to your feet all over the building. It's not what people do to you. It's not what happens at work or at school or through your home. It's what's happening in your spirit that's beyond description. And it happens when we begin to climb the ladder of prayer. God, I don't understand why I had to go through that situation. God, I trust you. Lord, I exceed the weight rating of this ladder, but bless me today. Perception. You let me take another step up, my perception's going to change again. Perception. My perspective of what I see around me. I don't want to focus on the downers and the hurts. Oh, there's downers, there's hurts. There's issues, there's problems, there's things that we don't like that happen. But we've got to keep our focus on Jesus. We've got to keep our focus on heaven. I challenge challenge you to climb the ladder of prayer during the times of turmoil in your life. It's not just Jacob. It's not just Jesus. It's not just John on the Isle of Patmos. You know, they threw him off the ship. And here he goes. He swims to the island. And all the buzzards are waiting on him to die. And the worms, wait till that body falls. I'm going to get something to eat. He didn't focus on all of that. But he turned his eyes towards heaven. We have the entire book of Revelation because he got above the issues that were at hand. He got above the little moments and the things that were trying him. And we have the book of Revelations today. Oh, I want to see Jesus. I wonder if you would step out of your aisle right where you are today, and just by doing so, you're saying, God, I want to get above all the stuff that's happened in my life, in my past, in my family. I want to have a new perception, God. Would you come? Would you come? I want to have a new viewpoint, God. I want to see the big picture. I'm going through some stuff, God, that you're going to see me through. I climb on this ladder today, and my prayer today, there are things that only God can intervene on. There are things that my wife and I are interceding about that only God can do. Man cannot do it for me. Money cannot do it for me. Possession cannot do it for me. Only God. And when you get in those moments, if you'll just turn your head to heaven and say, God, here I am. God, I want you in my life, in my heart like never before. Would you lift your hands and just ask him that right now? Lord Jesus, touch right now. God, let your anointing fall right now. God, let our perception change. Let our lives be changed, oh God. Let your anointing, every circumstance, every situation, only God can make a way. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, you're our greatest privilege. You're our greatest potential. What we pray about today, God, we're going to live tomorrow. Lord, I'm praying for souls. I'm praying for brand new hungry souls, God, that want to plug into you. You want to live for you, God. I pray for our children. I pray for our jobs. I pray for our family relationships. I pray for every marriage here today. In the name of Jesus. God, let your anointing fall. Let your anointing fall. Only God can help us. Only God can bear our burdens. Only God can pick up the broken pieces and put them back together again. Lord, let us be in your spirit this day. Fall on me today, God. Come on, change your perception today. Change your viewpoint today. Don't stay in the just normal average. Don't settle for the average mundane. Step above pettiness. Step above fear. Step above doubt today in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.